Welcome back to a brand new episode of Nerd Empire Wrestling. I'm your host, Jose Jimenez, and I'm here with my main man, my tag team partner, Don Juan Adondestas. Isaac, what's good, brother?
Yo, the man with 100 names. What's
Yeah, I know,
going
right?
on?
Dean Malenko,
I'm
right?
Dean, yeah, the Malenko, we're the Iceman. I mean, call me whatever you want, Adonde, Isaac, whatever makes people feel good. Oh man, a lot of wrestling this
How
week,
you been
man.
feeling, bro?
I'm feeling
Yeah, how you been feeling though?
good.
Besides that, good.
I'm feeling good. I can't complain. Thank you for asking. How about you,
That's good,
sir?
my brother. I'm good, my brother. I can't complain. You know, any day above ground is a good day. You know.
Yeah, second that, my G.
Yes, sir, man. It's been a, you know, that, just like you said, man. To kind of like you know, little reiterate what you said, bro. It's been a good week of wrestling so far, man. We got two nights down, huh?
Yeah, man. I mean, no one's gonna count Raw, right?
Nah, no, I don't think we count Raw
I was
because
fucking
Raw
with
is right. Like we're gonna make believe that didn't exist. But yeah, two nights down, man. It's crazy how fast it goes too, brother. It's
The
like
ma
it
Mania
takes
week,
so
right?
long to get here. Yeah, it
Yeah.
takes so long to get here, and it's the quickest weekend of the year, man.
I think it's just because it's so much fun. Even without all the great hype and all the long like building up to matches that we're I think people who grew up with this normally expects from this type of week. But I mean, despite all of that, I think it's just a good feeling, excitement in the air, you know, like summer's around the corner, Mania, you know, it's just like this end, it's just something in the air. And I think I'm really grateful for it because last year, you know, despite the situation with COVID and the pandemic and the quarantine, and you know, they tried their best, which was very honorable, and I appreciate it because it was something we got something to watch that weekend, and it was very grim times, and they came through for us. Despite what you think about them or despite anything, they did come through for the fans or themselves. However it was, we were entertained. And it's just like it's a slim fragrance in the air, not as how we're used to, but it's nice to know that, God willing, we're in the right direction going back to, you know, I guess the new normal, but at least better circumstances. You know what I mean?
No, absolutely, man. I'm happy that we actually get to take our time away like we did last year of whatever's going on in the real world and get a little bit of escape. You know, I think that's like the biggest thing for me is to escape, you know, reality and get to, you know, get to see this. And like you said, it's our new normal. You know, hopefully next year we can, you know, God willing, we can attend a takeover. You know, I'm big on traveling to WrestleMania weekend every year if I can. You know, this year feels weird. I've been talking to a lot of people about it, and I didn't get a chance to talk to with you about it. But you know, it's just I feel weird because I'm not there. You know what I'm saying? And I'm so used to taking in the festivities and the whole weekend that it's a bittersweet. But I'm just glad that we got wrestling, right? You know, last year we got a short little version of it. And I'm just glad that this year they're going like, you know, this is phase two of the whole process. And we just got to trust the process, just like the Sixers say, you know, everything's going to get back to where it needs to be. But I'm glad that we still get wrestling and we still get, you know, some, you know, the biggest spectacle in wrestling like we do every single year.
Yo, to second, because I agree with everything you said. It's crazy because this week starting off, NXT kicked it off, which usually they do. They would usually kick it off on a Saturday, right? Normally they, and then it'll be like a 15-hour WrestleMania on a Sunday. So I'm happy they're separating it into 2 days. And I love this takeover being during the week. Like it just made this week feel so much more. Again, I don't know. It just feels like what it should be, you know, this big spectacle. Because to me, it's bigger than the Super Bowl as far as if you're a wrestling fan. It's like this whole long week. It's like Comic-Con
Facts.
something. You know what I mean? Like it's like a
Facts,
wrestling
facts.
Comic-Con. And I would expect when crowds and people get together, and you know, I would think WWE is going to try to capitalize on doing some type of comic. Like they already had like a WrestleMania week, but I'm pretty sure they'll expand on it one day. I'm pretty sure they have plans for that. But yeah, so NXT kicked it off, you know, takeover.
Yeah,
Stand
speaking
and
of
deliver.
stand deliver. Yeah, I mean, how did you feel about the two night takeover instead of one night.
I thought it was cool because I thought it gave on a business tip, it gave people like, all right, you get to see it on Wednesday. It's the last time NXT is going head to head with Dynamite, so that's also a plus. And you know, it kind of like, hey, if you want to see night two, get on Peacock. So it's like it gave people a chance that don't have Peacock to get like a little accustomed to it before, you know, Saturday and Sunday, which is Mania, right? So it gives people a little head start, and it gives them a head start too, I think, on any downfalls that the as far as the app may be having. Because I heard by Saturday, Peacock should be updating their app to so you'll be able to pause and rewind during the live event.
Oh, okay. I
And
didn't know that. It's cool. It's good to know.
so I think, yeah, because that was a complaint from the last pay-per-view from Fastlane. So they've been trying to fix that. So supposedly Saturday will be their first day that you'll be able to do that. So
Gotcha.
yeah,
Okay,
I
that's
like
good.
the 2 nights. I wonder what they'll do next year now that they'll be on Tuesdays. But this year, having the Wednesday and then the Thursday second night, I thought it was really cool. Did you?
No, I enjoyed it. I think they did a great job. I was really surprised how well they did it. I think they gave us two blockbuster shows in two, in two separate cards that each card could have been a takeover, if you don't mind me saying, like, even the main event that we got last night, that was great with the women tearing the house down. That could have closed the show out if we had just one night of takeover.
Right.
And then we got to see some good matches like Dunn and Kushida. That's I mean, who doesn't want to see matches like that? So it was really good because I think that the talent that's backstage, they've been working hard all year, and you want to be on this card because this is technically their WrestleMania. So it's like, it gives 2 nights, you can get more talent, you can get more people out there, and you could kind of build for the next season because this is what's going to happen. Like after tonight, NXT starting on Tuesday, this is their new season, new storylines, new everything. So I was excited, man. The one thing that kind of felt weird for me, Isaac, was I didn't see any of the big announcements that of superstars that they signed in the crowd. I mean, they mentioned a few that to a lot of us that we don't know or that we might know, but they usually went away from that. And I don't know if that was as planned or that's something that they're just trying to, shy away from and use more of the social media aspect for it.
Well, they showed the girl in the Gonzalez match for the Shirai. I don't know who she is. With she was with Stephanie
What?
Stephanie McMahon.
Yeah, with Stephanie.
So I guess
Yeah.
that was their version of, and then they showed somebody tonight, which I wasn't familiar with. I don't know who that was, or that was that a football player? I don't even know.
Yeah, he was the he's a college well, he's pretty much the version of the NCAA tournament. He won the college wrestling tournament. He's one of the top college wrestlers in the country. So a little bit of a Kurt Angle, Shelton Benjamin kind of forte. With him. So I know of him, but I haven't, again, going from wrestling to pro wrestling is two different things.
But I guess because those little vignettes has been Morrison's wife with the dog. But
Yes,
no,
yeah, oh
normally they
yeah,
would
we know that's Taya.
right. But normally they would have had her in the crowd. So maybe they're now they're going a little
Correct.
more old school, like using it as a surprise, like with little packages. I don't know. It's a
Right,
good notice.
right,
Good thing to
right, right.
notice.
Right, I think that's what they're doing too, though. I agree. I think they're going with the more vignettes. They're kind of going a little bit old school again. We just have to wait and see how this all plays out, right? Because even today we saw Casanova walking out with O'Reilly and Cole during that event. I know he was one of the big signees that they got this year. Seeing him as a security guard was kind of funny,
Yeah, weird.
Yeah, but let's jump right into the crowd, man. Let's go into the card. Night one was a success. We had some pre-show matches. We got to see our homegirl Zoe Stark against Toni Storm. That was one match I didn't think that was going to happen, but it ended up happening. And they're really pushing this girl Zoe Stark, bro.
Yeah, they even have her coming in, showing her coming in the building, well, quote unquote coming in,
Right.
with Shirai. I guess that's going to be a future thing.
I mean, they already wrestled against each other, right?
And I think she earned her respect, I guess, so she's like her buddy now,
Right.
which is a setup
Right.
for later. I guess she'll turn heel, or I don't know, maybe not,
Mm-hmm.
because I guess Shirai will be going to the main roster soon.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, I like when I see things like that because It's old school. It's like you get to see somebody built get built up from the ground up.
Yeah, no, Zoe's getting built up from the ground up. The only person that I'm really concerned about during this whole thing is Toni Storm. It's like, bro, she was hotter than grease in a pan, and now it's like, what happened? You get what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what they're doing with her. It's tough to really like get behind her right
I
now.
think she has, she's like a full package, right? I wouldn't say her mic skills is anything through the roof. I just think it's very hard now. Maybe 10, 8 years ago, 6 years ago, she would have been more unique, but it's very hard now, Jose. It's like the girls are like really taking it to another level, and it's like not that she's not, but it's like it's very hard to stand out, man. I can imagine now it's like a whole new era for women's wrestling, and I mean, you have to do a lot now, I guess, to really stand out, or just have to be something. And it's like, don't know, she's like Christian or somebody. It's like, you know,
Good point. That's a good point. No,
they're
right.
great. Is she missing something? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if it's height or it's mic skills. I don't know what.
Do you think it's the adapt or die mentality, meaning like, you're hot, you're hot, you're hot, but then you don't follow with the times and boom, you can fall off that horse, because a couple years ago she was bigger than a lot of girls that are on the main roster right now. You get what I'm saying?
I think it's because they were trying to, they were pushing that UK brand, bro. So now that they're transitioning her over to a NXT like full time, I think she stood out in the UK brand. You know, it was only her and Rhea Ripley at the time, and the rest of them were like real mediocre. Now she comes to the main roster, and it's like she kind of blends in, and now, you know, it doesn't matter how crazy her hats get. You know, it's like it's only but so what are you like the Mad Hatter? It's like, you know, it's almost like, I hate to use this word, gimmick. Like, you know, when the bigger the crowd gets, your gimmick, you have to become a peacock. You know, no pun intended. Like your feathers have to get more brighter or shinier, or however you want to use as a metaphor. You have to like stand out more. And I think she's having a hard time standing out. There's so many great girls on that roster, man. Maybe, I don't know. I don't have no solutions for her.
No,
Forget.
yeah. Let's. I mean, we just gotta wait on the sidelines and see what ends up happening with her, and seeing if she busts out of the slump or heads back to UK and jumps on that show. I just think she needs something right now. Taking a couple of these losses and then going heel and having that fail, that could be the kiss of
Yeah,
death,
yep. The heel, if you
So,
turn over from face to heel and the heel thing ain't working, the face thing wasn't working, it's kind of scary.
kiss of death.
Maybe they'll put her as a tag team, so.
But speaking of two guys that are on the roster that kicked off the show, two guys that I feel, and I'm pretty sure you feel the same way, brother. These are two guys that I think, this coming year, I think they're going to get big storylines. They might get major pushes. It all depends, but I want to see these guys get major pushes. Pete Dunne and Kushida, and I was glad that we got to be able to see them go one-on-one, because this is, to me, technical heaven, if for say, like submissions, arm grabs, joint manipulation. Like, I just feel like these guys can really, really put on a show if you give them time. And I wouldn't mind seeing these guys lock up again for maybe a belt, maybe a stipulation match, like a submission match or Iron Man match. Like, I just think giving these guys more than just 10 minutes, it's a crime. You get me out there? I mean, giving them less than 20 minutes is a crime. I would like to see these guys get way more than that, because I think the match these guys could put on would be incredible. But I'm glad that we got to see it.
Yeah, in an era where there's too many long matches, it's a shame because these are two guys you want in a long match. So it's like, it's a shame because there's too many long matches in this era, like from AEW to WWE to the main, like all over the place. There's just too many. Maybe not on Raw because nothing's too long on Raw besides Raw,
Besides Raw,
that
yeah,
itself. But these are the two guys you want to see in a long match. But you know, I think the benefit of this is that they show that you are going to get a part two and part three of this, I'm pretty sure. And I agree with you. I think that there's probably going to be a big year. I think Dunn is due a world title run. I'm sure after Cross does whatever he has to do and move on to the main roster. Cause I don't. If Keith Lee got moved up that fast, I would assume Cross is going to move up even faster because he has Scarlett, and I can only assume that
His gimmick fits the main roster.
between Bruce Pritchard and Vince McMahon, I'm pretty sure they're
Yeah.
like drooling at the mouth to get Scarlett up there more so than Cross. But Cross,
More
I
so than
always,
Rye.
you know, and it's funny because when every time I see Cross, Cross is the plus in the package. And some people may see it the other way around that she is, but I really think, believe it or not, she's what makes that whole thing go. She really does. So
Can't agree with you more, man. Can't agree
not
with
that
you
I don't
more.
like Cross, and we'll talk about him later. I just really think that she's the deal, she's the package. So yeah, but Pete Dunne, I hope he's due a title run, because he came back looking phenomenal from the quarantine. He's been playing his card right. I just think he doesn't need those two tag team dudes running around with him. I just think he needs to get some of that edge back he had when he was the UK champion. There was something about him, and I hope he just gets it back.
That swagger,
It
that
was a great
swagger,
match.
that swagger that,
It was a great match. It was like the. It was like a highlight reel of what both of them could do. They both did like a highlight reel of all their great shit, and it was like they just threw it in there, and it was fun to watch. It was like a wrestling match at its purest.
No, yeah. As pure as, I'm in love with Kushida's hoverboard lock. I just think that's just such devastating submission. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just love the way Dunn sold it, because Dunn is a very athletic specimen. You know, he's flexible. He sells well for you. His demeanor in the ring, it's just like he tells a great story. And this is a guy. I know I use this a lot, but he's a guy that doesn't need a mic. You get me? I think he can get over just being who he is, just like you mentioned, with the swagger, his face, just his presence alone requires attention. And we saw that from the first UK Classic. Like you wanna, it's like you wanna watch to watch to see what Dunn's gonna do next. You get me? And it's just like he's a baby face mixed in with a heel. He's like a little bit of that Austin. Where it's like, I don't care what kind of done we get. All I know is we're gonna get a badass version of it. And yeah, man, Kushida, man. The only thing I say, and I'm pretty sure you're gonna agree with me. I just wanted them to change up Kushida's look a little bit, man. You got something really good there. Let him go back to the shorts and the kick pads, man. I don't need to see the jeans and all that. Like, I get that you're trying to do the whole Back to the Future thing, but I think they should really just tone him up a little bit, brush up his look. The mic skills, that's something I don't think is going to come for Kushida. I think eventually he's going to probably fall into a Shinsuke Nakamura role, where if it doesn't happen immediately, it might not happen for him. You get me? And that's what
If
scares
he's
me.
lucky, Jose, he'll get a Shinsuke role.
If he's
If he's
lucky,
lucky, because
if he's lucky, right?
what's more in his future, and I'm not, it's unfortunate, but there's more so that he could end up looking like Tozawa than anything else, just because of his size.
Oh man, I don't
There's
want
a
that.
very good chance, man.
I don't
With
want
Vince
that.
in charge,
That could be Io Shirai too.
Shirai.
That could be Io
But the
too.
thing
I
with
mean, she doesn't,
Shirai,
she could be the Asuka,
damn, but see, Asuka's in a better place than Tozawa and Shinsuke.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But I think after this weekend, she might not. You get what I'm
Yeah,
saying?
but she at least has some title run, small runs. So I mean,
No,
Shinsuke hasn't even
absolutely.
touched the world title on the main roster. Only the NXT world title. The
No,
only
man.
what he's had, the US title or the right? Not even the Intercontinental, not that I know of.
No, he had he had the
How
IC
about the
belt.
US?
He just had it. He had the US
He
too.
ain't getting that world title for a long time.
He just had the mid-card belts. You get me? He hasn't had his shot was against Jinder Mahal at SummerSlam, and that opportunity went out the door. That's where they dropped the ball with Shinsuke right there. When he was the hottest, they didn't put it on him.
And that well, so yeah, fucking this is not looking good for Kushida.
Right. It scares me. It scares me. And I know it scares you too because he's a talent. But in America, if you can't talk on a mic, bro,
It ain't even really that. I mean, there
that's
is, it
it.
is, that does play a factor with some people, but I don't think it's that, it's like, it's his, is he, Does he connect with people? Fuck if he could talk English. Is he going to connect with people? And now he's running with a gimmick that, yeah, to me and you and to a lot of people is very recognizable. We got to remember, too, that's an old-ass movie. Mm-hmm. So with the fact that
it is,
he has his race, unfortunately, that's against him. I'm saying because of how Vince McMahon and the history of WWE, how they do things, that plays against him. The fact that he doesn't talk English, like you said, too. And then the fact that it's kind of like a hard thing to connect to. Yeah, there's a lot of things against him as much as I like him. But yeah, I don't want to
He's not going to connect, brother. It's tough, you know, because we've harped on it a lot. Not. You know, we just gotta we just gotta let this all play out, you know. But kind of moving along the card for night one, we got to the Eliminator, the Gauntlet match. To see who's going to face Johnny Gargano for the North American Championship.
It was cool, but
for me, this was just a match. It was cool, but it wasn't nothing crazy for me, you know. Like, all right, cool. Brunson Reed came out of it. Great. You know, I just feel like my boy's getting no love, man. This is where you could have, to me, this is, I'm going to say this, Isaac. This is where WWE dropped the ball. This is where Hunter and Shawn dropped the ball. If you're pushing this whole thing with Swerve that he hasn't gotten his due, this is where you could have gave him his due.
Yeah, but then they didn't. Then they would have got stuck with Swerve and his new heel gimmick going against Johnny Gargano, like their number one love of their life. So I agree with you, but I guess their decision was, let's get a big baby face to go against Gargano because we'll play it that the babyface has a great chance. And who has a bigger chance than... I mean, look, on paper and visually, Breed should have won because he's bigger than them. And a lot of big dudes don't get shine no more. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, a lot of those guys, I mean, he could probably fuck up a lot of those guys in real life. Let's be honest. So, you know, he should have won. But the reason we didn't get there's no, like, you know, spice with it. Like, there's no big reward. Not because of what happened in night two, but just because they don't do a great job pushing him all the time. It's not like he has – it's like, you know, he's not the most compelling character despite his size, right? So he won because he has the size or whatever, and they in the baby face, you know what I'm saying? Because LA Knight couldn't go against Gargano. He's too much of a heel. Even though he probably should have.
Yeah, this is
why. It was really a mess. They kind of booked themselves into a corner. And, yeah, it kind of fell flat. You know what I'm saying? Especially the turnout. You know what I mean? But we'll talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I hate this whole thing of the whole heel baby face. At this point, you get me? Because this is a gauntlet match. I feel like it doesn't matter who comes out of it. Just it's about the opportunity, right? You could have gave this opportunity to, you know, Trevor Lee. I'm thinking these are guys that I'm thinking that you've been having on NXT TV for the last couple months. The guy's money, the guy's entertaining, the guy's hilarious. I think, you know, with his gimmick, he could have did some funny stuff with Johnny, you know, and they could have really had a good entertaining match because when I see Trevor Lee, I see Daniel.
Talking about Cameron Grimes. I really do.
Cameron Grimes, I'm sorry, oh, Cameron Grimes.
I see, NXT baby. You got to call him by Cameron.
Well,
but I agree with you.
I call him Cameron,
no,
but
I know.
I always see him as Trevor.
No, I know.
You get me? But it's just, he's money, Isaac. Like, yo, you got to give this guy a shot eventually, bro. Don't get me wrong. All right, Johnny is the staple. Johnny is the face. Johnny is all this. Johnny had his shot, man. This whole weight thing for me is not working out. It's stale. It's weak. You know, I think the big payoff, like we talk about every single week, is going to be, you know, eventually having whatchamacallit turn on him and end up ruining the faction and putting him over. But, you know, guys like Trevor Lee, you know, a.k.a. Grimes, are suffering, bro. Guys like Swerve are suffering because these guys need a break. These guys can go. They should be in that picture.
Yeah, but then –
I think Johnny's taking a spot now.
Then where the fuck Johnny goes after that?
Send his ass to the main roster. Is he the sink or
swim? Bro, if he goes to the main roster, it's over for Gargano. If he's on SmackDown,
I know,
no.
I know, I know, I
if
know.
He's on SmackDown, he may have a chance. It's Raw, bro.
What would be his Achilles heel, though? What would be his Achilles heel, though, Isaac? What
it's
would
fucking
hurt
hype.
That, I know that, but... That,
bro, you... I'm talking about Raw. You go to Raw with that height, Vince McMahon sees you and he's bigger than you. Vince is bigger than Gargano. When Vince gets introduced to Gargano, that it's over for him, bro. Look what he's done to Riddle. Look what he's done to Lee. Look what he's done. Come on, bro. I can name 1,000 people. Yeah. You know who showed out the other night? Well, we're gonna talk about it in a little while. His fucking partner. His partner against Walter, you know, Ciampa showed that Ciampa
always
showed that he could go against a big guy and make it look good. And he showed that he could go against a Randy Orton or somebody on the main roster and make it look good. He could go against a Sheamus and it'll be believable. Gargano? Nah, man.
He did it tonight and it wasn't believable.
I didn't know. I was like, it was a good story they told, but I guess we'll get into it when it comes up, but yeah.
But I just feel like it's time to move some of this talent along.
So Reed, Reed wins the battle, the gauntlet thing.
Mm-hmm.
I guess a lot of people are disappointed at that. And then what was next after that?
After that, after the gauntlet match was the Master Ciampa against.
And that was great.
Which, in my opinion, that was, to me, one of the best matches night
Hell
one and night
yeah.
two.
That shit was.
They stole the fucking
that
show.
That shit was. I think, yo.
Walter can go.
Yeah.
Bro.
I think.
They both,
no, they
can,
both
go,
can
go.
Bro. They both showed out. But I really do feel like so many. A lot of these quote unquote smaller guys, most people are small compared to Walter anyway. He's huge. But, yeah, he really. Like he shows out, he makes like I and I fucking hate the word, but he really makes like matches feel epic. Like I hate the word epic, but he really
no,
makes
he
no, makes the
I'm
matches honest. Feel like you're watching like I don't know like this climax of Game of Thrones, like this episode you're dying to see it. These two people fight and like the intensity they both had and how they told the story. His right hand with his you know, his secret, you know, not a secret weapon because everyone sees it, but like his main offense, that slap, and he almost broke, you know, he almost
chop,
broke through
yeah.
the table with the chop. It was like the Hulk. And they told a great story.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
and even though he won with the chop, but it took a while to get there. I just thought they told a great story. Ciampa, bro, I'm gonna tell you something, and I've been putting him in the category with Cole and Kyle and Gargano. He, and I'm not even a big Ciampa guy. Not that I hate him or I love him or I don't or whatever. It's just he's there and he could go, and that's what's up. But yesterday, he really, to me, proved, yo, if they do the right thing with him on the main roster, not that he'll be the next Stone Cold world champion or whatever, but he'll be able to survive on the main roster. Like, it'll be very believable. I could see him going against Apollo Crews. I could see him going against Shinsuke Nakamura. I could see him going against Sheamus. I could see him in good matches with a lot of guys there. And, you know, because he and Walter went, and I believed it. I was very impressed, man. I would have to agree with you. I think he broke the stigma on himself. If yesterday was any if was anything, not to cut you off. I think if it did
no,
anything
go.
For him, it was like an interview or like an audition for the main roster. Yeah, it was like this, like, yo, put him against Walter, show that he could live in the main roster. Like, if anyone asks questions, like stupid fucking Bruce Pritchard, or senile Vince McMahon, watch the fucking Walter match. And to me, Ciampa showed that he can go on the main roster. He'll be fine.
You didn't but he didn't show you that before though, Isaac. You weren't convinced.
Not with
now.
Any big guy. What big guy he went at it.
Okay.
I mean, I know he can go. And I wouldn't shit on him in the main roster. I'm just saying the way the WWE's politics are, to me, this match and WWE's eyes and the way they operate, should be the match that shows them, not me, because I'm new, but them. Look, man, this fucking guy will be fine on the main roster. Don't shit on him when we send him up there, because at some point these dudes got to go there.
But that's what I'm trying to say. You know, like, you got to move these guys along, man. My only issue is I'm going to say this. I've seen that from Ciampa when he was in DIY.
Yeah, but what big guy?
When he wrestled against the Authors of Pain. He carried Johnny in that match. He did all the strongman moves in that match. If you go back and watch it, Isaac, watch all – every single lucha high fly move was Johnny. Every strong, you know, masculine, just picking you off your feet. But it's Ciampa.
You know, and that's a good point. But I think it was like so far ago, and Authors of Pain didn't really get treated good in the main roster. You know what I'm saying?
They didn't.
So
they did it.
I would agree with that. That's a good. That was a good, good way to, you know, combat that. But I still think. I still think, you know, because Walter has the visual that Walter, if he wanted to, because from what I've known, he doesn't want to go to the main roster. He's happy in the UK or NXT. But like, Walter feels like he will be a big deal on the main roster.
Let me tell you something, Isaac. That fairy tale ending he hit from the top rope on Walter was nasty, dog. Yeah. Like the amount of power that you gotta have, and like, you know, preciseness to not drop Walter on his neck, because you know weight, that's big on the ropes. You ain't got no flat surface to really put your weight on. You get me? And to execute it that well, like, yo, I was just like, man, just this is like another, like Ciampa kicked it to another gear, you know. And the one point that I like that you mentioned was, I feel Walter could make any style look great. You get me? I feel like you could put him with a guy half his size, half his weight, or I mean double his weight, and the guy's going to give you a great match regardless, you know, because it's the gimmick plays to what he is. It's like the symphony of an orchestra. You're playing beautifully, but you're wrestling beautifully at the same time, you know? True. And it's just like I personally feel eventually – I get you. I get that he doesn't want to go to the main roster, but eventually, as fans, Isaac, you're going to want to see him go against up the Romans. You're going to want to see him go against up the Keith Lees. You're going to want to see him go against a lot of the other guys, you know? That's why I think a lot of us were excited, like wrestling fans like us, diehard, when he was in the Survivor Series match, right? And he was going up against all these top guys like Seth, you know, and we're like, oh, shit, yo, they got Keith Lee and they got Walter. Like, what, and Ciampa, what is this going to look like? And Keith Lee was the one that ended up getting the spotlight on it. And that's what skyrocketed him to the moon, where he ended up becoming double champ. But I think now, you know, Ciampa's done everything he needed to do in NXT. It's time for him to go up. And it's time for him to get a shot and do something different. But I think if he's going to go up, it has to be on SmackDown.
Oh, but that's
not Raw.
That's fucking most people, bro. I don't even know who would be able to survive on Raw.
I don't know what it is about Raw, but it's just like it just doesn't work down there for a lot of these NXT guys, bro.
From the things that I've read and things that I've listened to, podcasts or insights or whatever the fuck, it says that Vince focuses on Raw. He don't really focus on anything else. So that leads me to believe everything, he's the filter there, so whatever goes to him, he changes and whatever. And it's obvious. You got 3 hours to burn in your life and you want to sit there and watch that, you'll see the, you know, nothing's
right,
it's cohesive, nothing's cohesive, it's
bullshit.
It's just a lot of buffoonery.
But it's a lot of waste.
But this, you know, despite that, what we were saying,
Isaac?
Hello? Yo? Yeah.
Isaac, you hear me? You there, brother? Yeah, we lost you a little bit. Yeah, I hear you now. We lost you a little bit. It's cool.
Yeah, so this was one of my favorite matches, Walter and Ciampa.
No, I agree. I agree. It's one of my favorite matches of both nights. I think they tore the house down, bro. Tore the house down. Kind of moving along to the co-main event of the night, MSK against Legado de Fantasma, the Grizzled Young Veterans. This was a really, really good tag tornado match. Really, really good. Let me tell you, Wild and Raul Mendoza really impressed the shit out of me, bro.
They're great, man. I mean,
Holy shit, they can
Omi
go,
was great
Isaac.
in Impact TNA.
You
Yeah,
talking
when
about
he was
Wild?
DJ or whatever his name was.
When he was, yeah, he was, yo, they can freaking, yo, I'll be honest, I was rooting, at one point, I was just like, put the
Yeah,
tag
I
belts
was
on,
rooting
give them
for
all
them,
the
to be honest
belts.
with you. I really was.
Yeah, me too. I was like,
I
give them the
was rooting for
belts.
them.
Give them the belts. Let Escobar get the belt to like he did tonight, which we'll jump into that, and let these guys rob with the tag belts. You know how dope that shit
Hell
would have looked
yeah.
today? Oh, man. I mean, question, Isaac. Do you think that it's too fast for MSK?
Yeah, man, but I think the writing was on the wall once they won that Dusty Cup and just the energy they got coming in, and you could tell they wanted to make them the face of their tag team division. It just was the writing was on the wall, bro. But I do think it's been very fast. Super fast. But
Yeah, man.
then again, there was a hot tag to Wes Lee in this match, and he does this set of moves. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yes. You talking about when he swanton over the top rope, he did the moonsault to the other
He does
side,
a
and
tope, and
a
then he
tope, yeah,
then he
suicida, yo,
does like
that
a
was just
cartwheel into a backflip, and then a and
yes,
then it turns
yeah.
into like a enziguri. It was ridiculous. It was like
Ridiculous,
some
bro.
Miles Morales, like some
Ridiculous.
straight
Yeah,
Spider-Man.
some Spider-Man type shit.
I was thoroughly
Bro.
impressed, bro. Like that hot
Same.
tag, he almost cemented that they will separate at some point.
Oh yeah, yo, it was funny because I was gonna get right into that with you, Isaac. I was like, I can't see these guys as a tag team for a long
Not
time. I
especially
just
not with
can't
the
see it.
segment they had on night two where they were like disagreeing with the matches. It kind of showed us.
You've seen that, right? You've seen that they're already throwing
Yeah,
jabs in
because yo,
there.
bro, I think Wes Lee cemented himself last night with that fucking
Yes,
hot tag. I think when they saw that, it and you know what the shit
bro.
was? It reminded me a lot of Ricochet, but like in a different way, because it looked way more, not that Ricochet looks like he's trying. But Ricochet just looked
Effortless, bro.
effortless. But this kid made it look like superhero-ish.
Clean.
Like it looked weird, like mutant. Like it looked way too fucking easy. It looked
Yeah.
like walking, in a circle or whatever, like chewing gum. It was like, I was
Yep.
very impressed, man. That kid is super talented. I would have liked the other guys to win, but this was a great match because all three teams were good. Grizzled Young Vets were like hitting hard but doing good combinations. Yeah, man, this is probably goes down to as one of the highlights. Maybe not them winning. I mean, that's cool that they won. All three teams kind of deserved it, to be honest with you, with the show they put on. I'm just curious. Why not put the belts on if you knew that Escobar was gonna end up winning? Like you said, to have like a good trifecta of the belts would have looked really cool. But all is good. It'll happen, I guess, soon enough, hopefully.
All is good, man. Let me tell you, before I kind of move on to the main event for night one, let me tell you some of the move sets that I've seen in this match. Some of the most athletic shit I've ever seen. The wild move that, the move that Jacqueline Wild does with Mendoza, where he goes off the turnbuckle, jumps on his shoulders, and they usually
Yeah.
do a 450. Like, that shit's
The tag
crazy to me,
division
bro.
and NXT is
Like,
way better than the main roster.
oh, 100%. And then I don't know if this is one of your favorite parts, like storyline wise, but I love when Zach Gibson put the Changeling Gates on Lee's broken arm. Oh, bro. It was just so good because you saw that Lee was trying to tap out and Carter grabs his hand midway and tells him not to. Like, just that, those little small parts, Isaac, is what made that match even more exciting. You get me? But I can't agree with you more, brother, like that. When Wesley tagged in, I was still at work, bro. And I'm just like, this is bananas to me. Like, this kid, when he did the suicide dive through the middle of the rope without touching the rope at all, and then snapped back in the ring, ran full speed from the corner turnbuckle, did a swanton bomb in the air, and it looked like he was up there for like 5 seconds, and then landed, came back in the ring, and, you know, it's just like, I'm just like, yo, Lee is no fucking joke, bro. This kid, I can't see him with Carter too much longer, bro. I think Triple H and Sean looked at each other and were like,
fuck, yo, because it was like when Matt tags in Nick Jackson. And Nick Jackson does that, that little thing that he does where it's like with the ropes and the backflip.
With the rope,
he has like a little, his little comeback shit is like this. It's cool. It's one of the best ones in the business. Like, fun to watch. Well, I don't know what the fuck West just did. Like, he just topped him. Like, that, it looked like he controlled the air as he moved. Like, his tope suicida was like time stood still for him. It, you know, it's not, it was like the direct opposite of what Shotzi Blackheart's looked like when she jumps through the rope, it looks like she's ready to go through a wall, like a Looney Tunes character, and just have her feet hanging, dangling out, like she's damn near ready to commit, like paralyze herself
one day, man.
And then this kid does it, and it looks like the Matrix or something, like some. It looked bugged out. It's cool. It's cool. They won the belts.
Yeah. No, they won the belts, man. But I think you made a good little point there with today's little segment they had. You know, it's gonna, we gotta pay attention to that because it's gonna be a sign of things to come. You know, and NXT has no problem putting the trigger on shit like that. You know. He knows the good shit too. Before we move along to Isaac, Lee can talk on the mic.
They're both pretty good. They're fucking, both, they're not they're bad. Fucking nerdy and hype and like too hyper, but
right.
A lot of these young guys, NXT and AEW, I noticed when you watch Being the Elite, a lot of these wrestlers now are just dorks. Not that I don't like a lot of them, but a lot of these guys.
No, right.
Yeah, they're dorky. They're silly. Yeah. They're like, everyone's like funny and everyone's like nice. Mm-hmm. I guess that I'm not saying it's bad. It just is like wrestling is so different from when I was growing up.
Oh, yeah. You know, when I was growing up,
the Hardy Boys were getting made fun of by like Bradshaw and them for not drinking and Edge and Christian. Like Edge and Christian and the Hardy Boys were like the, like ushered in this generation of what wrestlers are now. Like,
correct.
They didn't even drink, correct. So.
No, they were like hanging out at the mall and shit. You know, like they were different.
So it's whatever, but.
But no, like to kind of move along, man. This is, we predicted this a while ago, my brother. We planted the seed, and it finally came to fruition, man. It kind of happened, and Io Shirai, Raquel Gonzalez for the NXT Women's Championship. That was a hell of a match, man. Let me tell you. Both women showed out. Io Shirai, that girl's not afraid of heights, bro. I think she'll jump off anything. Doesn't matter what the fuck it is. But when she jumped off the top of that skull on Gonzalez, I was like, I hope Gonzalez catches her, because if she doesn't, it still was bad, the noise that it made, because it was just like, holy shit, like this girl, anybody else would have freaked out and said, yo, I'm not jumping off this shit, you know? But it was really, really good to see Raquel win the title and kind of usher along the, you know, as the new face of the women's division. Because I agree with you. I think this is it for Io Shirai.
Yeah, if they get like a rematch, maybe it'll be like on Tuesday. Maybe to sell the new time slot, like the rematch. I don't know if it'll be that soon, but whatever. Maybe it'll give her one rematch and then they'll bring her in after Mania, Shirai.
Right.
I don't know, but I really liked having Stephanie McMahon there. Made it feel more important. And I thought it was cool that last 10, 15 minutes, well, 12 minutes or whatever, was no commercial break, so it also made the match feel important. It was on TV, so it was cool that they have that relationship with the network, that they can do that. I guess because it was the last night being on Wednesdays. Yeah, the writing, right. I think the writing was on the wall for a long time. I think she's been the hottest thing in that division, or at least the most deserving, the most dominant. Like, how could this woman not have the gold eventually? So I'm happy to see that she got it. If I had to make one critique, I think Triple H and them, whoever is backstage that do this kind of thing, I think they should have taught her how to win the belt. Like, I think she was celebrating way too fucking much. And this is like me, like, just very, very little nitpick. I just thought that she should have been a little more badass as she won. You know, I think she was way too charged. She was like really, and I get it. It must be, but just tone it down, hold it in, and then really let off backstage. And I saw a little thing of her with her mother and her father backstage crying. Yo, she deserved it, man, because she came a long way from I think like the Mae Young Classic or whatever. She's been here for a while, guys. She's just been working very fucking hard. And yeah, man, I'm happy to see it, man. Especially you know, with this being Mania weekend, it's a good look for her. I'm proud of her.
No, but I think, you know, in all fairness to you, it's, you're not wrong on the nitpick at all. You're 100% not wrong, you know, because if she's built up to be this monster, right? Exactly. This unstoppable force. And you're a heel. You get me? You got to celebrate a little bit different, and you're 100% right. You know, I don't think that's nitpicking at all. I think that's a valid point, you know, because when you see a heel, a monster heel win, you know, they have some small excitement, and then they head out. You get me? And you start speculating what's going to happen next. But I will say this, Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez is going to be booked sooner than later. You can't have Raquel be, you know, Dakota and Raquel together as a tandem. You know, I think Dakota's also one that's getting a lot of good burn lately. She's been really exciting to watch with Raquel. And eventually, I think the storyline is going to build itself. And I think you'll see both of them go out of the
box. Are they going to Shawn Michaels, Diesel, this shit? You'll see. I don't know who's going to be facing, who's going to be here. Yeah. I don't know, because they could switch this. They could go big. They could go like how they did in the beginning with Diesel and Shawn, where Diesel was the face.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't work so good. It worked better as Shawn being the face because it's small, big. But they went the other way first.
Correct.
So maybe they'll keep Dakota as a heel, and then maybe that was showing us that maybe she's going to be a babyface champion. I think that would be a mistake. I would love to see her as a heel dominant champion.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I do see the Dakota Kai thing coming soon. I could see that. I think that is just in her future. That's in her crystal ball. But shout out to her, man. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy for Raquel Gonzalez. You could see, not that anybody else don't deserve it, but you could just see with her, she's one of those people that it was like, yes. Certain people get away with going to NXT and going to the main roster without ever winning the belt. And she was one of those people that I just, I was like, she can't end up on that. She's going to the main roster. Her size, she just has it. She's going there. Yeah. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Is she going to be the biggest star there? I don't know. But she is going there with her size. But she was one of those people, man. She needed to have that belt before she went to the main roster. I'm so happy now. And then she's the first girl to be able to say that she had the tag team and the world championship. So that's cool too.
That's cool. Yeah. Yeah, man. Great points, man. These are all very great points, man.
Undebatable. So that was night one.
Very undebatable. Night one was, let me tell you, night one was really good. Just like we were talking earlier, man, night one could have been takeover, and I would have been happy. It was a great takeover. You know, like, if that's what it molded to, but night two was even beyond more special. You know, like, as a wrestling fan, how can you not get excited for the card that night two had? And I'm glad that they kicked it off with one of the matches I think that me and you were really, really both excited about the ladder match to see who was going to be the king of the Cruiserweight division.
And it was dope to see the black title and the purple title hung up. And let me tell you, Escobar and Devlin put on a fucking show, bro. Those two guys can go. I'm going to be a little bit selfish here. I wanted to see a little bit more spots. I wanted them to get a little bit more time. But I think with the time that they were each were given, I think they did a really, really great job. And I still think they kept the whole, you know, Escobar mystique alive with the whole heelish ways of winning, yep. Winning the belt. I think they kept that psychology well with having his henchmen come out and beat down on Devlin. But that moonsault that Devlin did was just dirty, man. It was a moment where I was like, man, he could really botch this because Escobar is really, really close to the ladder. But he landed that, and I was just vastly impressed, man. Vastly impressed. I wish they could have both won the belt, but it was a great ladder match in my point of view, and I think sky's the limit for Escobar, bro. Like, it's just – I said that for Andrade a few years ago, and I know look how that turned out, but it's just something different to me about Escobar, man. And, you know, what's your take, brother?
Yo, I was so turbo for this match. I was so charged. I really had Red Bull running through my veins. I told you, supercharged. I would have to agree with everything you said. I wish, you know, the selfishness of me would have wanted some more spots and a little more length out the match. Mm-hmm. But then again, it's very mm-hmm. special to open shows, special shows like this. And I know some people may see it as not the greatest spot in the card, but I would have to disagree. It's you're setting off the tempo, and they set off the vibe of the night. You know, it was very hard to come after this match. I'm happy Escobar mm-hmm. won. I thought Devlin, right? I thought he did his thing.
Yeah,
they had some scary shit. I'll give him one. That was the most prettiest moonsault I've seen off a ladder. I don't know if I've ever seen a moonsault off a ladder, because Jeff Hardy made the swanton look mm-hmm. like the scariest thing. Like, he was all shaky. The ladders never looked like they were gonna hold him, but he always got it off. But it was never as pretty off like the one he did off the top rope. But he did it. It was more like a front flip. Devlin did like uh-huh. a picture perfect, like USA Olympic,
yeah,
diving backflip. I was like, I was thoroughly impressed, bro. That how good he did, and how good he landed it. It was good. It was perfect. I thought this was great. I thought this was great. I would love to see a part two, to be honest, because it's one of those things where it's like you can do so much more. And it doesn't have to be a ladder match. It could just be a match. I would like to see them just have a match. Because without the ladder, they did some mm-hmm. cool spots together, just wrestling-wise. So I'll be open for that. And I agree with you too. Escobar has a very high ceiling. You know what I mean? Like, the sky's really the limit for him.
Right.
He has. I hate to say this, you know, not because he's Mexican, but he has like this Eddie Guerrero, this vibe to him, man. I could see big things for him if they just mm-hmm. do the right things by him. If he was to like go real Eddie Guerrero and get a little more diesel, like, really, mm-hmm. yeah, because he's good on the mic. A lot they could mm-hmm. this could be real good things for this yeah. guy in the future. But like you said, the same thing with Andrade and his little cousin. What's his name? Garza.
Fucking,
you know, Garza. Nothing much yeah. happened with them, and they had that kind of same Eddie Guerrero praise at some point. So mm-hmm. I don't want to jinx him, but this was a great opener. I was happy to see it.
No, yeah. It definitely, let me tell you, it was up there as one of the most anxiety moment filled moments that I ever had for a wrestling match, and that definitely took the cake. But kind of moving along, you know, we jump into the women's tag match, which kind of, in my point of view, no offense to these women, it killed that whole momentum yeah. that I had going into it. You know, like, it's just, it wasn't exciting for me at all, man. What I was kind of looking into, and this is no disrespect, I was just like,
when is Shotzi gonna nearly kill herself? Because yo, she just this girl doesn't know how to go any speed but 100. And when she did that suicide dive, I knew you text me. You was like, yo, she almost snapped her neck, bro. And I was just like, yes, she almost did, man. And it's just, I just don't want her to get hurt because she has a great look. That gimmick is really good with the tank. But this match in some parts was hard to watch, man. You know, I'm not feeling it with them as a tag team. Like just like I said to you earlier, I think what's missing here is, and this is in both, this is in the main roster and NXT. We haven't had two females that are legit tag team partners. Like when I look at them, I see tag team. I don't see, hey, I think one of them could be a solo superstar, or you're mashing two solo superstars to make a tag team. I just think that's what's missing.
All you get me, Isaac? I really do. They're all put together because they were all threw these tag team belts out of nowhere. The only two teams that remotely looked like teams was Bayley and Banks because of their history together. So it was very believable that they'll be a good tag team. And the Iconics, right? But fucking Vince is an idiot. And he breaks up the only legit tag team that they had since like the Bellas and two and what was it McCool whatever.
Michelle McCool and who was it? That was the other
yeah,
one.
Yeah, but they were like a tag team too. In a sense, I know what you mean. Before there was even a tag team, so yeah, it's a real tag team. And Vince breaks them up makes no sense, especially now with tag team belts. Like there's an actual tag team championship. And there's no Iconics. That makes no sense. Yeah. And these two girls are like stranded, like Gilligan.
No.
And it's really ass backwards. For real. It's really like instead of like building them as a good tag team and then hopefully they'll spin off and be stars because that's the goal. He cuts them off before they even did the same thing with Heavy Machinery. Why would you break up that team? That was a great team.
And it was an old school looking thing too.
So like Vince does a lot of ass backwards shit. But I would agree with you. Like, there's no legit feeling teams out of none of them. I would love to see a tag team like female FTR. You know what I'm saying? Like two girls right now in the performance center, or the wrestling center, or Capitol, or whatever. I would love to see two girls right now that we don't know as me and you are talking. Thinking about exactly what me and you are thinking about. Like, yo, let's get together and let's both make our entrance as just a tag team. Not two girls that are separate and then eventually we become a tag team. Let's enter NXT as a tag team and like a cohesive unit. I agree with you. There is none. And if two girls, let me tell you something. If I could just throw this in the universe, if there's two girls in that performance center sitting right now, lost, they need to find themselves, pair themselves together, and fucking take over these divisions, because there's wide open holes in the female tag division in NXT and in the main roster. And that is like, that's what I was talking about earlier. Like, if Toni Storm, you know, even though she was introduced to us as singles, if she could take a step back and say, yo, who can I pair up with and really make something happen, maybe that could be her entry into getting more, being more sought after. But great point, bro. I think this match could have been a lot more, but since these teams are not like the most desirable, it's like whatever. But you know, how much times I said this thing about Blackheart, she's gonna break her fucking neck. It's her. I don't know if Phoenix have like a text messaging like together. They're trying to like every time
group chat
the night's over. They're like, who went further? Like, I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, man, slow it down. Slow it down.
Yeah, like
slow it down.
What's she trying to do to herself?
Because you're gonna hurt. Yeah, man, and let me tell you, man. Like we talked about this earlier. When fans start coming back in, a lot of these stuff that they get away with because there's more space on the outside, they're not going to have that much space when fans come back in. So it's going to be even harder. You know, it's going to be a higher risk too. Oh, yeah, big time, bro.
I'm going to be honest with you, yo.
I won't be surprised if the next time we see her, she doesn't do it. I would have to believe that somebody today, or whenever they recorded, I don't know if that was live. Was that live? All right. I would have to believe tonight someone told her that you don't do that no more. Because this is not the first time.
Right.
This is not the first time where you can give her like the leeway and say, okay, God bless you. Don't do that again. You know what I'm saying? This looks like, this is like a recurring thing with her. This has become her thing. Like, Shotzi doesn't know when to stop. She's going to go through the fucking barricade. Like, that's it. Take that move away from her. Strip that shit.
Oh, my God.
She's going to kill herself.
Yeah. Don't do that shit no more. No more. Because you're going to kill yourself or you're going to hurt somebody else trying to catch you. You know? So, no. Cut it out. Cut it completely out. But kind of moving along the card, we got to see Bronson Reed against Johnny Gargano. That was his consolation prize. He got a shot at the North American Championship, and he got a shot at Johnny Gargano, man. Let me tell you, I give Johnny a lot of credit, man. He always comes out with some dope shit as his gear. Like, I really like the Iron Man look, and I think that's what he was going for, with the arc reactor in the middle of the gear, the whole silver leg padding. Like, he looked dope, man. He looked really dope. And Brunson, you know, he's always – Brunson reminds me a lot of his movesets, like Bam Bam Bigelow, because I know that's his idol growing up. But it was a great match. You know, it was – some spots here were a little weird, you know, because Johnny had the dynamic of his flunky being outside. And it was just – let me tell you, Austin Theory is just – I think they're damaging more than they're doing him justice, I feel. Putting him with Johnny, because it's just like the gear that he has on, his look has completely changed. Johnny being a heel is just not believable for me whatsoever. It's more like the annoying dad that wants to hang out with his kids, but his kids don't want to hang out with him. And he's doing everything to get their attention. That's what it feels like to me. And yeah, all right, cool. You're finally giving Johnny a title run and you're giving him title defenses where he's not dropping it after the first shot. I just, you know, I think it's time to see other people step into this spot, like I said earlier. It was a great match. It wasn't a bad match. I'm not going to sit here and say it was terrible. I felt like it could have been a little bit better. I would have liked to see somebody else against a Bronson Reed, you know, like I said earlier, maybe a Swerve Scott or my man, Fly Me to the Moon. I would like to see him, you know. But I think they need to figure something out here with Johnny in the way, because it's just not working out for me. But overall, great match. I don't know if you feel the same way.
This was a really good match because they told a story. And I got to give Johnny Gargano a lot of props for that, because he has to be one of the most underappreciated. And I'm not a Gargano guy, but I'm just speaking facts here. He has to be one of the most underappreciated dudes, because he can always find a way to really tell a story. He's really good at storytelling in that ring, man. Like, I got to give it to him. Just so good. They told a story that I was not expecting. I was expecting him to be flying all around, getting pulverized, and then coming back and winning. I had a feeling he would win. I was hoping he wouldn't. But I just thought the story was going to be the vice versa. For whatever reason, I guess just because I assumed the big guy, small guy. But I knew Gargano would lead this dance. You know, you could tell he was leading this match, and he did a great job making selling this guy as a babyface, you know. And then they sold the story of he lost his main asset, which was his body. He couldn't, his ribs were hurt, and that's his most of his offense is that. And it was a little awkward because it's Gargano's small, and I could easily say that this was his audition for the main roster with a big guy, because it was very similar to Walter. He, even though Bronson is not as tall as Walter, but this had very similar kind of like undertones. I don't know if this is what Triple H and HBK were planning to show off Gargano and Ciampa this weekend as guys that can go against big guys. Now, I could be really wrong about this, but I think that's what it comes off like. But at times, it was a little unbelievable because Bronson is so big. It's like, I just,
I don't know. It's hard to believe that he, you know, some of those impacts of those suplexes and shit like that. It was like, dang, he's killing Gargano. Like, but Gargano always finds a way to win. That's kind of his thing. Mm-hmm. I really do like the heel thing on him because I hate him so much. Not really in real life, because I'm pretty sure he's probably, but I just, the he's doing a good job.
The character.
It's like he really makes me hate him. He reminds me of like Jeff Jarrett or something, like, you know, a better wrestler, but still, they got off that I want to smack the shit out of him. It's like Owen Hart. It's like he's fucking great. Mm-hmm. Like Gargano is fucking great. Like you watch him go, and it's like the way he transitions into one thing to the next. I'm really giving him his flowers tonight, and I'm not a Gargano guy because I think opposite to what you thought. I always do think he comes up with clever ways to add his love for superheroes. This was a little dorky today, but I respect it though because in the sense. I like that he does him. You know what I mean? Like, I like that he's creative and he's Gargano. There's no other Gargano. You know what I mean? But this was very surprising as a fun match because I wanted Bronson to win because of his size. I wanted a big guy to get a little burn. I liked when Keith Lee had the belt. So, yeah, this was a little disappointing in a sense, but I'm not surprised neither. Like Gargano, I'm not surprised.
I mean, right.
If anybody really needs NXT, it would be him. Like Ciampa looks like he could open a beer bottle with his mouth. Like, yeah, Ciampa.
Yeah, Ciampa is a different kind of monster. Nutty, like, you know, he's the muscle.
He just
the
looks muscle more grizzled than grizzled every time.
You know, like.
And Gargano really looks like a soft ass. So I'm really, if anybody, Jose, I'm concerned on the main roster, is Gargano. He would get swallowed up on the main roster.
I just, man, you know what it is. It's not that I don't appreciate Johnny. I love Johnny. I'm a big Johnny guy, but I don't see heel in Johnny. That's just. If anybody could, if the listeners could take something away from what I'm saying is heel. He's not a heel, but you're right. He makes creative ways to make it believable. Now his in-ring ability, undeniable. There's nobody better in telling a story or selling a match or even getting everybody out the edge of the seat. I mean, no one has been in more takeovers than Johnny Gargano, right? I think that's the stat. He's Mr. Takeover, which, you know, I just – what I want is I want that spot to be somebody else's spot and for Johnny to go along and maybe give it a shot. And I know it's not up to Johnny to be successful on the main roster. That's up to Vince Pritchard and guys like that, and we know their track record, you know. But I think this spot here, I would appreciate it to see, you know, somebody else go against Brunson. You know, I think I want to see more of – Swerve. I want to see more of, you know, Lee. I want to see more of those guys. You know, it's, you know, it's just the definition is like, what else is there for him to accomplish? When you're so accomplished and you've done everything that there is to do, you know, you always look for that next thing to do and that next thing to challenge yourself. And I didn't look at it that way, but that was a great point where this could have been an audition that he can work with bigger guys and make it believable. And I thought there was times in the match where it wasn't as believable as Ciampa.
But, you know, here's the thing that I just thought of while you were speaking. Because you made a good point, but I think what they're doing is, I think he has a better chance on the main roster as a heel than he would as a babyface. Because if he goes in as a babyface, he may get the Ricochet treatment. You know, because if anyone reminds me of Daniel Bryan, would be him, right? And
that's a fact.
When did Daniel Bryan's up climb begin? As a heel with AJ, and
as a heel.
Lost that quick match at WrestleMania against Sheamus,
mm-hmm.
and then now when he transitions back and forth to heel and babyface, he could do either one. He's really good at it. I think Gargano, we know for without a shadow of a doubt, he could be a good babyface. But I do think he may, this may be a way they got to give him some longevity as a heel so we can see a point of reference. You know what I'm saying? So when he does go to the main roster, if they want to do that, they have a point of reference. It's not going to be like, oh, shit, they put him on the main roster, and then now they asking him to be heel, and he's never was a heel before. He don't know how to do this shit. He has to find himself on the main roster. I would say, nah, man, this is a good opportunity for him to find himself here in this smaller, more, you know, intimate environment than to finding himself on the main roster, which is, like, nearly fucking impossible. It's so hard to do. Look how long it's taken Apollo Crews. You know, because he was only in one gear on NXT. They didn't switch his gear, and it's taking him so long. Now he's being a heel right before our eyes, and maybe he did it on the independents. But like, no matter what you say, the independents is not the main roster, and it's not WWE. It's not. It's the big leagues. I don't know if anyone gets offended when I say it. I don't give a fuck. It is. It just is. So. Maybe that is a benefit for the Gargano. That's the one highlight I'll say for him. Maybe he don't have to find himself on the main roster. He gets there. If they ask him to be a babyface, he could do that. He's been doing it for years. And if they want him to do a heel, he's been doing a pretty fucking good job at it. He's like this swarmy little idiot. You know, he's like this one, this little guy you want to smack around. And that may work for him because Vince may find humor in that opposed to seeing him as a babyface and seeing him all smiles and, you know, you know how Vince does with that. Look at Ricochet. So, and look what happened to Apollo for years. So, boom.
Yeah. No, these are all great. These are all great points, man. All great points. You know, and it's gonna be funny when we hopefully to see a transition, right, Isaac? Like, we just got to see how this all is eventually going to play out, right? One day. But kind of moving along to the co-main event of the night, which I felt personally, and I think you felt the same way, Isaac. The world title should always close the show. I'm not a fan of that.
I'm not a fan of the world title not closing the show. The next match was Balor and Cross. I don't understand it.
No, it should. I don't care. Everybody has their opinion. Everybody has the right to feel how they feel, but the world title should never co-main event the show. It should always close the show. So be it. You know what I'm saying? We're going to get into how we felt about the Cole O'Reilly match, but you know, this match, Balor, it was a good match. It was a great match. I think, you know, yeah, Balor, we're talking about Balor and Cross. It was a great match. Great match. I think Balor showed a lot of his technical side in this match. This is the most technical I've seen Balor in a long time against a bigger guy, too. It's funny because the story tonight is these small guys going up against bigger guys, you know, and Balor went up against a bigger guy in Cross. And I love that Balor switched it up a little bit. He was more working the arms, working the legs, doing more rollover submissions, the rear naked choke. It was a great match. It was a great technical match on Balor's point. You know, I think he made Cross look strong in times that he needed to make Cross look strong. And I think they also, if a lot of the, you know, the fans out there like us paid attention to it, Cross draws his strength from the outside of the ring. Meaning he can't, there's no way he's going to win a match. There's no way he's going to do anything in the ring without having her ringside. She was his strength. She was, when he was in his time of need, that's where he drew his strength from. That's when he hawked out and started destroying Balor. And I think if we paid attention to that, you know, that's going to probably play in down the road later on. But she just like Isaac said earlier, she is the brains of the whole project. Like, she is what makes this train go. And this is going to be a money train. And the only way the money train is going to be money for Cross is she stays on it. You know, she's beautiful. She's elegant. She's, the way she sells this entrance is unbelievable. Like, it looks like a freaking movie. And I love Cross's gear in this match. I think he went with the whole kind of gladiator look. And I think we've seen the last of Balor on NXT. I really do. I think come Monday night,
Balor might show up on Raw. I really feel that in my heart, you know. Or Balor might step into NXT UK and have unfinished business with Walter. But I just think that this was the goal way for Balor. I think Balor's done. I think he went there, did his job. I think he put Cross over, and this is Cross's company to do whatever he wants with it. But it's going to be interesting to see how this is all going to continue to play out between Cross staying there and for how long.
Balor, how you feel, Cross. Brother? One, I thought this should have been the main event. And two, this was a good match. I think they could have had a better match. But I'm happy with the match I got because the styles were kind of cool to see them mesh. I'm not crazy about his new gear. It was kind of like this Roman gladiator type of thing. I didn't hate it neither.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I was like a little on the fence about it. It was cool, but I wasn't in love with it neither. But here's the thing with this. Balor was essentially here to battle Dynamite, but also it was a good place for him to go to kind of like reestablish himself because he got lost for a while. So I think with Cross getting hurt after winning the championship, very similar to Balor's situation back with the Universal title, they kind of like got to capitalize on two things at once. Now, Balor's back. We give him his reign as, you know, the NXT champion here as coming back. We give him that. Give him his flowers. And we also have an essential good placeholder to hold the belt until Cross comes back, because that's really what he was too. He was holding that until Cross was ready.
Right,
because there was no one else really.
Facts. He was a placeholder. Yep.
That made sense story-wise to hold that. So Balor fit right in because he was kind of like floating in limbo. So he did his job, and now he got crossover. Yeah, I don't know where this ends up for him. I really don't. But this was a cool match, but I'm really curious to what. Because what does he do? He stays there. If he goes to NXT UK to try to get the belt from Walter, I don't know if that works for him. I would rather have seen him on SmackDown. I'm on everyone. I say everyone go to SmackDown. Shit.
That too.
Yeah.
Everyone go to SmackDown. I mean, it's true. I mean, what is there doing in NXT? Nothing.
You know, I guess because this has been happening a few times since with this pandemic, they do these unsanctioned last matches. Mm-hmm. So unsanctioned has to go last because we can't control, you know, the referees even in a black t-shirt. So I guess that's the way they justify them being last. So technically, Balor and this guy was really last thing on the card. And then last. There was this unsanctioned match that happened afterwards or whatever. I don't know. I'm a little confused about this whole scenario. I think I mean I saw it coming. I knew Balor was not leaving the champion. You know, so Cross is a 2-time champion now, and I don't think this is gonna last long for him. But I don't know. I don't know what's their out with that. I don't know who's gonna beat. You know what I'm.
I mean, who's next? I mean, there's really nobody next in line unless you say Pete Dunne. That's it. I mean, who else is really next in line?
You have to turn Pete into a face.
Right?
Something got to – I don't know.
You have to.
I don't know. I think they – this is what they say.
Really is nobody next in line like that.
At least what I visualize. Like, should they have just – should they have just, like – when Cross got injured, should they have just been like, you know what, when he comes back, we'll just bring him straight to the main roster?
They could have did that. I think that would have been the right thing to do. I thought that at one point that's what they were going to do because it was like, what else did he need to prove?
Would make sense,
you know,
beating this guy. I don't really see anyone that makes sense beating him, to be honest with you. Not even Bronson Reed. No.
Dunn, right now? No, I mean, there's nobody.
I would love it. Nobody. I would love it to be Dunn.
Dunn is the only one.
Let's say it's not Dunn. Who?
Mm-hmm.
Who? Who?
Honestly, with the way the main event
hell
ended,
no.
I can't see O'Reilly being that person.
O'Reilly versus Cross. After seeing Finn Balor versus Cross, I'm like, nah, maybe not, because I kind of just saw it.
You know what I'm saying?
I got one.
We've seen Escobar. The match already. Escobar. All
right, between Escobar and Dunn, that's only two people.
Escobar. That's it. I mean, honestly, but if you used to say right now you had to pick one, you're in Gorilla, you had to pick one, I'm going Escobar.
And then you could sell it like how Eddie Guerrero and Brock Lesnar used to have those great matches. Yeah, but Escobar would have to be a babyface for it to really work, no? Yes. Or can he be an asshole?
Nah, he could be an asshole. Let him be a prick.
I would love to see it.
Let him be a prick. I mean, me too. Me too. All my chips are being on Escobar. All my chips. I just think he has it.
And he looked that small compared to him. I think a lot of people.
He has it.
Yeah, man.
He wasn't that small when they did the street fight. Remember, Isaac?
Balor is booked at 5'11". And Cross is booked at 6'4". Get the fuck out of here. He's about 6'2", 6'1".
I was about to say, he's 6'2", 6'1". Balor's about 5'9".
Balor's more believable to be 5'11" than this guy believable to be 6'4".
But I got a picture with Finn Balor, and I'm 5'8".
I know,
and I'm almost the same height
sometimes with age, because Hogan's not what he used to be.
You feel me?
And Triple H looks
smaller. He's not 6'6", right? You know what I'm saying? Like,
was like a 6'5".
Right.
A lot of people look smaller now.
Right, look at Sean.
They're getting older. Yeah, I just thought it was. I'm like, you know, I know this guy is. They're billing him as this big monster, but I don't think Cross is gonna look that big on the main roster. I think they're gonna have a rude awakening when he stands next to like a Randy Orton,
or even Roman. Imagine him in front of Roman. Roman a tower.
Yeah, he's gonna have a good height on him. Not like a 100%. Maybe not towering, but like I know what you mean. Like. There'll be a difference.
No, but like mass-wise, like Roman, there'll be a difference. You'll see Roman. No, not eye to eye. No. 100% not. But to kind of move along to the main event, which was the unsanctioned match between O'Reilly and Adam Cole. Great match. Really good match. I'll be honest. I know people might give me shit, but I've seen this match before. It was Ciampa and Gargano in New Orleans a couple years ago. I mean, you know, and not as good. It was a great match. I felt like it was real spot heavy. I feel like some of the spots were like, you know, you went with the ECW spot in the middle of the ramp with Taz and Bam Bam Bigelow. Pay homage to that. They used the chain. I wasn't feeling O'Reilly's gear. I feel like he looked like an Assassin's Creed character. I just wasn't. Just, you know, you like changed their music.
He looked like Assassin's Creed. Yeah, it looked like if an Assassin's
Yo,
Creed.
Yo,
like
I just
the,
wasn't
the Assassin's Creed character got sponsored by Under Armour.
Yeah, like the music looked terrible. It didn't fit their characters or anything like that. You know, great match. I feel like did it tell an amazing story?
I was
in my opinion,
not
no.
Blown away.
I was over it. I felt like once they went through the ramp, Isaac. In my opinion, you know, I feel like the match should have ended somewhere shortly after that. I get it. You put O'Reilly. It was way too long. You put O'Reilly over. But I think Cole is another one that we might be speculating.
He
might
need to
be
go
gone also. What do you feel, brother?
But I don't think he should show up.
I don't think he did. What does he need to prove here?
Hell no. I think you should give Cole like a 2-month break and put that boy in the fucking gym. Because he looks washed.
He looked fat today.
He is so unimpressive.
He looked fat today. He did. I said. I thought that today. I was like, yo, Cole looks a little bit big today. Like, stomach-wise, look weird.
Like, he just, there's nothing like, besides his mic skills and, like, he can fucking wrestle. We know that. But, like, bro, you're going to send him to the main roster looking like that? And he stands next to a Ricochet or Apollo Crews at these guys. Bodies, you know, like Finn Balor.
A chisel.
Was I supposed to believe that Cole gave Finn Balor a run for his money? Finn Balor looks like he's in peak physical, you know, like he looks like a Henry Cavill or some shit. Finn Balor looks like Superman. And
he's cut.
Cole, I don't know what's going on, but if Cole knows. And this is why I got to give it to Gargano and Ciampa. They're in great shape, too. If you know you're that small and you're going to be doing that profession, I'm not body shaming nobody because it is what it is. Everyone comes in all shapes and sizes. But what I'm saying is in his profession and what he's doing and his character, he would really benefit from really getting serious in the gym. And I'm not downplaying anything that any training that he does. Not saying, I'm pretty sure he does something, but it's not enough, bro. You don't even look as good as Shawn Michaels in '97. And you're compared to Shawn Michaels, but like physically, like, no. Hell no. If anyone could go back to the tapes of like Shawn Michaels versus Ken Shamrock at In Your House, Degeneration X, or the European. Yeah, Sean versus Brett around that time period, like
even Sean and Taker in a Hell in a Cell match. Look how big Sean looked for that match. You give me Sean had to put on muscle to go against Taker. Guys so like regular, that, you know?
He really looked regular.
But this is where Sean got to step in and say, "Hey, you're not going to survive with that."
They're really confident in his abilities to talk and do whatever else he's doing. Because, Daniel Bryan looks like he's in better shape. And Daniel Bryan doesn't have, like, a masterful physique. He's in great shape, though. But, like, shit, bro. Cole
I mean, even, like, even Edge looks
regular.
Edge, look at Christian. Christian looks really good. You get me? Those guys been away from the business for years.
I saw him today. I was like, I really hope they're not pushing him along right now.
No, I said the same thing.
Got an extra 2 months on NXT because he needs to hit the gym or disappear for a while or something. Because look at Pete Dunne. He came back from the pandemic and he looked like a totally different human being.
Fantastic.
They better go. They better talk to them, Ciampa, too. Because Cole would really benefit from that. Because then his shit talking would really make sense. Because it'll look like his face and body would match. Because he has the face. He has.
It look like Sean.
But the body is like, yo, bro, this body is regular. I look like I could smack the shit out of you, and nothing's gonna happen.
But overall, what you thought of the match, brother? Overall, what you thought of the weekend? I mean, of the week.
I thought this was fun, man. I thought it was fun. I thought this was a good way to start off, you know, what's going to happen. I'm excited, too, for SmackDown.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's considered goal, like right, a tomorrow? Part of Mania weekend because they're putting the Andre Battle Royal in the SmackDown because they're taking it off the WrestleMania card. And I thought that was cool because if WrestleMania is going to be Saturdays and Sundays going for the future, which I think they'll benefit from having two nights. Mm-hmm. I really do. You know, it's sports entertainment. It's not a sport. It's not the Super Bowl. Stop comparing yourself to the Super Bowl. You could do bigger. Do a two-night thing and then really capitalize on – and, you know – instead of like doing these giant matches trying to fit everybody on the card, two nights is a good way to to put a lot of people on these cards, you know, night one, night two. So it's really cool that SmackDown's on Fridays, and now it could be a special thing attached to this. Yeah, I'm pretty sure a lot there's going to be some stuff that we've seen already, and I'm pretty sure they are going to use it as a go-home show. But I'm sure there's going to be elements to it that's going to make it special. So, yeah, the takeover, this was fun. I can't wait to do talk about tomorrow night SmackDown. I can't wait to talk about Sunday when the whole thing wraps up. But the takeover was a thing. I have one question Saturday, for Sunday's you about takeover. Be big, man. Before we maybe touch on some news before we leave. Should TakeOver, when it becomes to Mania Week, should TakeOver get a whole nother name as a pay-per-view? Should they have their own WrestleMania name? Should TakeOver just be with their pay-per-view names? Or should it be TakeOver with a tagline the way Stan and Deliver was? Or do you think, like I said, NXT, do you think NXT have earned themselves a name for their own WrestleMania week? No?
I don't think so. No disrespect. I think the tagline, I like to take over with the tag name, like you mentioned. Yeah, I think that's beneficial to them because, you know, technically they're their own brand, right? Like that's what they pushed it out to be. They're a separate band and no longer a developmental, quote unquote, you know, but WrestleMania is just, that's just the, like you said, it's the highest plateau in wrestling. It's where everybody, that's the showcase of the immortals, no point intended. Like, you know, I don't want it to overshadow that. You get me? I don't want it to be like, and WrestleMania, and no, leave it, right, which will never be that, but you know, you got these marks that'll make it that, that'll try to make it that. You get me? I just think it should stay the way it is. NXT TakeOver, blah, blah, blah. And just leave it the way it is. I think is there's nothing wrong with it. It ain't broke. Don't fix it.
Okay, there's a question.
How you feel? How you feel?
I'm a little bit on both sides. I definitely could see what you mean. And I could definitely see maybe them meaning that they are their brand. Maybe they've earned themselves an actual another pay-per-view name besides every pay-per-view being called TakeOver. But I could see why. So... either way, I'm just curious. I'm just curious.
No, I can too.
Nah, just curiosity.
It doesn't hurt, right, brother? But before we go off the air, big news coming out of Japan. Ibushi's title reign ended real early. Got the new belt. Speaking of the new belt, we're gonna talk about that for about a minute or two. But the Osprey era begins in NJPW. I'm happy
he's been there for a while.
How do you feel when you heard that?
Before you leave there and make your way to America, if that's what he wants to do, which I think he should do one day, to really test that other, you know, he knows he has the wrestling side of this business down pat, but does he have the character side of this business down pat? We don't know, and I think. That's one thing that is Kenny Omega's going through. But not to take anything away from his honor, you know, finally holding those belt that belt. I think it's cool, man. He's a great wrestler.
I agree. I mean, I think now he's finding his niche. He's finding his stride, and. What I will say is very smart on NJPW's part because you got to build more superstars, right? When you lost Kenny, when you lost Cody, you lost the Bucks, Hangman, you lost a lot of big names, you know, Jericho, and you didn't have big superstars to build. You didn't have anybody built. You had Okada, you had Naito, Ibushi, we didn't know what he was going to do. He ended up staying, Switchblade. You know, you really didn't have – other people, you get me? You didn't really build that roster, and I think now they're finding their stride. They got to, you know, he's building his own faction and he's building his name, and his legacy is getting even bigger. And I think he's gone away from the whole I'm just a 205 guy to I can hang with the big guys and be more than just a high flyer. I can be more than just a guy that flips. I can be a world champion and be successful at it.
Do you so think I'm
big on Ospreay?
I think I kind of lost what I was going to ask you about Ospreay. Yeah, go ahead, because I forgot what I was going to ask you about Ospreay.
No, it's all right. If you remember, we know we can always touch back on it. But one thing I wanted to talk about before we go off the shit air, how did you feel about the title change, man? How did you feel about them combining both belts and coming up with that? Because I wasn't a fan of it, I'll be honest with you. Like, I'm seeing it more and more now. It's growing on me. I'll be lying to you if I tell you it's not growing on me as a fan. I see why they did it. They wanted to kind of implement like old school and new school and make one. But that's what it's right. But damn, bro, I just every time I see, I think of Ospreay. I wish he would have held that NJPW World title. Just it's just that.
No, it looked classic. I think, and maybe that's to them. They felt like they had to spice things up. I mean, I'm looking at it from their point of view. Maybe they just felt they had to spice it up. I'm not crazy about the design. Reminds me of Kenny Omega. Mm-hmm. I mean, reminds me of Cody's tattoo on his neck. Yeah, I'm not. Did you see that match? Ibushi and Ospreay?
I rewatched it. Yeah, I watched it again.
Mm-hmm. Was it good? I haven't seen it, New Japan in a while.
It was really good. It was really good. I think.
I guess I went online and try to find it.
Yeah, you can find it online, Isaac. I mean, the only thing I'll tell you this, not to spoil nothing for you, they kind of pick off from what happened between him and Ibushi at Wrestle Kingdom. Remember when he hit him with that illegal elbow in the back and knocked him out, and they had to make him leave the match? Right, so it kind of picks off with that, and it kind of, you know, carries along through the match of them telling that story and continuing that story. You get me? But I don't think that feud between Ibushi and Ospreay is over by a long shot. I think they're going to see each other again multiple times, and it's still going to be for that world title. But now I'm just thinking of other matches that he could have with other guys. You know, I mean, Naito, you know, of course, Switchblade.
Yeah.
You know, like, Ospreay, sky's the limit. You get me?
Let's see.
Let's see, right? Let's see what he can do with as the champ now, because it's different when you're the guy carrying the title, you know? Is very different because a lot of that response. But he deserves it. And I think if anybody can do it, it's him. You know? But
yeah, because New Japan, you don't the things that he'll need out here, he don't need out there. And I think he'll be able to do it.
Correct. Correct. Let's see, man. I agree with you. You made a good point. He's got to sharpen up a lot of the stuff, and now being the man, he can prepare for him coming to the States one day and being very accomplished when he does come in. So, I mean, he can have an AJ Styles kind of run if he plays this right, you know, and
Ospreay to me, I mean, I think Switchblade is probably the most prepared
for the States.
Yeah, I think Switchblade.
He has a bigger name.
I wouldn't be scared of him in the States. Not only that, I just think that his energy, like his the mystique is like, he looks like somebody you want to look at. Like it, you hear him, you talk.
Okay. The attraction.
It's just like this aura that, you know, so guys when they're in this business, they need. And I just think more so than Ospreay, if they both step in the room, I think you'll pay attention more to Switchblade.
It's a good point. Good point.
You know, Switchblade just has this aura to him, you know what I mean? And if they're playing this good, they'll actually have great matches, them two. I don't think they ever – I've never seen them fight.
No, me neither. I think they'll have really good matches. I wouldn't be against it, honestly.
Hell no. And now Ospreay had put on that weight, so it looked believable. Oh, yeah. And like you said, he's been testing himself with bigger guys and just fighting different, and I'm excited to see that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, but that's our show for today, guys. Isaac, you got any shout-outs, anything you want to talk about before we head out, brother?
Nah, man, just excited for the WrestleMania weekend, bro.
Absolutely. Same here. Excited for WrestleMania weekend. You know, hopefully our man DMX can pull through. And
That's right. Shout out to DMX.
DMX, praise to him. Hopefully the legend can pull through. We lost Jack Veneno today. For all you guys that don't know who that is, he was one of the biggest Dominican wrestlers and Hispanic wrestlers of all time. He wrestled Ric Flair, I think, right, with a crowd of over 70,000 in DR and won the NWA title, but didn't get acknowledged due to the Alliance not giving him the credibility he deserved. But he passed away today. So we posted something on our page. Yeah, but stay tuned to our page. We're going to post up when you guys can catch our WrestleMania episode. This episode will be up in the next day or two. But yeah, hit us up. Let us know what you think. But it's always a pleasure, brother. Thank you so much for taking the time out, as always.
As always, man. Everybody good,
absolutely, bro. Absolutely.